This is Brian Clark interviewing Terry Whipple. And Terry, I was wondering if you could tell me, start this off anyway, and talk about your background in economic development.
Sure. Actually, I'm the executive director for Juneau County Economic Development. My background isn't actually in economic development. For 10 years, I did corporate turnarounds, and about six and a half years ago, I was just looking for a way to stay home for a little bit because my commute to work was out to L.A., Atlanta, or Detroit every week. So
What is a corporate turnaround?
Well, my clients were very wealthy people there where their reputation was everything. So if they had an investment in some corporation or small business, usually that was in distress. Usually that's when I was called in and worked with that company sometimes up to a year to turn it around, and then we'd either sell it or I'd replace myself with a CEO, and the company would continue on.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's stressful. But I was just looking to get out of it for a little while to watch my daughters grow up because I wasn't home a lot.
Right.
So that's what I did, and that's when I saw that Juneau County was looking for a part-time economic development person. And at the time, Juneau County itself was faced with a lot of difficult circumstances. They were, at the time, 14% unemployment, lowest educated workforce in the state, lowest participation in the workforce in the state. So they had some real challenges and stuff that they had to overcome. And I felt, hey, it works perfect. So I jumped on into it.
Are you from Tolma?
I grew up in central Iowa.
Oh, really? Where?
And I grew up in Story City, Iowa, right just north of Ames.
I grew up in Tipton, not too far from Iowa City.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I'd moved to a new startup company over in Burlington, Wisconsin, and then just accidentally, fell into another company that was in distress, and one of the owners of the company, where a lot of the investment dollars came from, asked me if I would take that company and turn it around, and did. Actually ended up moving one company over to Tolma.
Oh, okay.
And I just loved the area, so I, since it didn't matter where I lived because my commute to work was just about anywhere each week, so we put down roots in Tolma, Wisconsin.
How old are your daughters now?
Well, I have one that is working. She's 29, and she's over in La Crosse. The other one is going to Winona State, and the youngest is 19, and she's going to WTC.
Huh. WTC is?
Western Technical College.
Okay. So how long have you been in Tolma then?
Approximately 12 years.
Oh, huh. And you've been doing the part-time economic development job for those 12 years, or?
I've been doing part-time economic development. Started out part-time. It's worked into a full-time position pretty quickly, but started here about 7 years ago.
Do you have any big successes to crow about to bring business to Juneau County?
Well, I point to three different industries. With Juneau County, not only were we trying to provide jobs, but to try to, provide high-tech type jobs that really match with our workforce. We have a 50 million gallon ethanol plant that's now up and running this year. They just, in January, did their open house and started everything up. It's doing great.
And that's in Tolma?
It's actually in Nisida.
Okay.
And Tolma's actually in Monroe County. I live in Monroe County instead of Juneau County. But in Nisida, we have the 50 million gallon ethanol plant. We also did get the North American headquarters for Castle Rock Renewable Fuels, which is part of Babcock & Brown. And so that brings in some more executives into the area, too. As well as the 50 million gallon ethanol plant, we got a 3,000 head dairy, and it's a very environmentally friendly dairy because with the methane digester, it's enough to power about 600 homes, but with what's left goes to fertilize vegetable crops in the area. So that works good. But another thing that I know even the governor was up here with KT Engineering in a partnership with Walker Stainless are actually working on building a launch vehicle. And it's a new type of segmented launch vehicle that could be manufactured actually in our factories, you know, metal fabrication factories as they exist today because of the high quality standards that they operate at. So those, you know, those are three things right there that, you know, is providing some higher tech jobs to Juneau County and giving us a little, you know, a little bit of, you know, I guess, status too, you know, with some of those things in the area.
What is the population of Juneau County?
Juneau County is only just about 25,000 people.
And the county seat is?
Is right in Mauston. And Mauston is about 4,000 people.
And the biggest biggest city close by is?
Well, we got Tomah on one side, the Dells on the other, and then you got La Crosse and Madison. Madison's about an hour away.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about forming inventor and entrepreneur clubs around the state.
It's, and I think that's one of the things that has brought in, you know, quite a bit of attention to Juneau County. About 6 years ago, you know, looking at the you know, the challenges that Juneau County was up against, as well as, you know, just looking at the state of Wisconsin, we ranked number 47 with what's called the churning rate, which is actually, to me, it's a measurement of our ability to grasp new opportunities. And knowing that we're going into a time of rapid change, we're exponentially rapid change. I mean, we're, face it, you know, we're looking at a time where some of our largest corporations where, you know, that we knew of as children, and even our parents did, like Ford and Firestone and Sears, may disappear this year or change dramatically. And here, you know, in a time of rapid change where old dies away, but new opportunities are going to spring up, we were really not good at grasping these new opportunities.
The state of Wisconsin?
The state of Wisconsin. And, you know, it's not only the state of Wisconsin, and I think we probably are the leaders in the whole Midwest at making a change in this, but when you look at all the Midwest states, they all ranked at the bottom. I was number 50th. So it was a cultural thing. We have some of the most creative people, obviously, in the country, in the world, right here in the Midwest, but we weren't capitalizing on the opportunities that were springing up. So what we did, and looking to tap into what talent we felt we had here in Juneau County, we started the Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club. It was really a first effort. I mean, because when you go to any state, they have all kinds of resources to help inventors, entrepreneurs. They're hard to find usually, but they're there. But what we were lacking, as well as any other state, is a grassroots effort that would, number one, teach people the proper steps to explore an idea. It's not running out and getting a patent and spending your life savings trying to get a patent on an idea. That's actually the fifth or sixth step. So we have to teach people the proper steps to explore an idea. And then second, we bring people together to, number one, motivate each other. And that's important because life gets in the way. It's not easy starting a business. It's not easy, you know, trying to innovate, especially when the culture is a little bit challenging. You know, face it, in the Midwest, we fear failure with everything we got. It's not a good thing. It's an embarrassment. When I was working out on the West Coast, especially during the dot-com, it's so different because as you step out to explore an idea, it, which is really a journey, you need the ability to turn this way and turn that way in order to find find your niche and to succeed. But as they stepped out to explore an idea and they started to fail, what they did was they screamed out to everybody, hey, I'm failing, come help me. And the response was, dude, you're awesome, at least you tried.
Right.
And, by the way, I want to introduce you to this person. Hey, this person has this innovation that would work great with yours. And the whole process starts to help that person on that journey. In the Midwest, it's so traumatic, failure is, that we usually hunker down and say, I'll never do that again, which is really unfortunate because the journey had just started. And what we want to do is build serial entrepreneurs, people that know the proper steps to explore an idea and are motivated by the culture to get out there and start 1, 2, 3, 4 businesses. So anyway, motivation is important. Second, bringing these people together is to help them tap into each other's networks. And of course, everyone in business knows how important networking is anymore.
Sure.
And I think it's a great story even when we talk about Brainfruit and how the networking through the clubs and through the WEN network really helped them succeed. So anyway, tapping into people's networks. And it's so cool because with our clubs, and there's about 50 clubs in the state of Wisconsin now.
What are they called?
The Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club.
Uh-huh.
And some of the counties, use different names and stuff for them. But they're all clubs. They're modeled after the one that we developed here in Juneau County.
If someone wanted to find out the club in their county, could they contact you? Or?
Yeah, they can contact me, or they can go to the Wisconsin Entrepreneurs Network website,
uh-huh,
which is wenportal.org. And they'll be able to find a list of the clubs in the state of Wisconsin. And there's new ones coming on all the time. And this will be really neat to talk about because it continues to spread. We actually had a person attend our last club from Mexico, where they're looking to do this down there. We have even tomorrow, Thursday, at our club meeting, we got people coming from South Dakota, and we've had people from Michigan. You know, I think there's clubs starting in almost all the Midwest states now.
Oh, nice.
And that started right here. But it's a neat model because it's the first really grassroots effort to we're talking about motivating, networking, educating these people to move forward with their ideas and get them, it becomes like a feeder system into all the great resources that states have to offer. And so it really gets people moving along.
Did you model this after other states' programs, or?
No, actually, and this is what's so funny, Brian. It's not a complex idea or a complex model that we developed. We just did it.
Huh.
There were things that we learned along the way, and there's mistakes that we've made. And also, when I was looking to start this Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club, a lot of people think of just inventor clubs, but most of them had failed around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's easy to understand why they did fail, because inventors are typically a certain type of character. They usually keep to themselves. They're not, specifically interested in business. They're not interested in sales. They're interested mainly in their idea creating a product. And what we found also, we went to the Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club because bringing in entrepreneurs is bringing in business people, sales people, people with a lot of enthusiasm. They're more extrovert. And when you bring an inventor and an entrepreneur together, that's where the rubber really hits the road. We already know that, out of successful businesses, most of them that succeed are partnerships, because very few people have the talents that it takes to be everything.
Right.
And what we did was we had to come up with a way to help people, find those talents that they're lacking, bring them together, and to be able to create a successful business. And through, that grassroots effort with the clubs, we've been able to do just that.
How many businesses have sprung up as a result?
You know, it we don't keep, it's hard to keep track because there's so many sole proprietorships,
right.
There's so many, you know, single person member LLCs. But we figured just in 1 year, I've had up to 5 businesses start in one night at one of our club meetings.
Uh-huh.
But we figured, you know, pretty close to 60-some businesses had started up in Juneau County.
Jeez.
Because of the Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club.
And how many years ago was it that it started in Juneau County?
We started it right around 6 years ago, about 6.5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And now, you know, like I said, I know of about 5 clubs in Illinois. There's clubs in Nebraska. There's clubs in Iowa, Michigan, you know, Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
You know, in fact, our next in June when we come together for our club meeting, we're actually bringing together 9 different clubs in the Seven Rivers region, which extend from Winona over in Minnesota and all around in this area. We're bringing 9 clubs together for a club meeting. So we're also doing some regional activities.
Huh. And Brain Fruit is a result of this?
Yeah, I think Brain Fruit is an exceptional story. It's just what we wanted to happen, and I think it's what it you know, sort of signifies what Wisconsin is becoming as an entrepreneurial innovation culture. Brain Fruit was Lars Nilsson. As many inventors or creative type people, they struggle.
How do you spell his last name?
His last name is Nilsson.
Okay.
Lars Nilsson. And Lars was a struggling artist, and he was a software developer. And he came to one of our club meetings, and
in Juneau County.
In Juneau County,
okay.
He's actually from Trempealeau, and he came over here to one of our club meetings, and we average anywhere from about 50 to 80 people at a club meeting. We started trying to get club meetings going in counties around us because at times we had up to 125 people,
wow.
You know, come to our club meetings, and our model wasn't really meant for that many people. But anyway, Lars had come to our club meeting and started working with some of our people, and when I looked at the trends in the type of product that he was developing, we started working a little bit closer with him, and moving his product along, and we helped him get a little bit of seed capital to keep things going on that. We also tied him in with the Wisconsin Entrepreneurs Network. So we got our grassroots effort, which is the Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club. Then we tied him in with the Wisconsin Entrepreneurs Network, which is able to get him to any of the resources that he needs. And through this, we're able to find investors that were interested in his product. And then through the network, through both the I&E Club as well as the Wisconsin Entrepreneurs Network, we're able to tie his new fledgling business in with people like Jason Weaver of Sway Inc. in Madison. And Jason is working with us as sort of an advisor.
What does Sway Inc. do?
Sway Inc. is interactive advertising. Jason just sold his business for $30 million. So, and he's still operating in it with the new company that built. But he's still working with Brain Fruit as an advisor on their software product and stuff. And then Jason introduced us to Joe Plasterer, and because they were looking for somebody as a CEO that had the experience to be able to take it to the next level, and so now Jason is operating as the CEO of Brain Fruit and bringing that forward and launching the product.
Uh-huh. And in a nutshell, Brain Fruit does.
Brain Fruit, they developed, a very high-end, very active and robust desktop media channel. And it's...
And in layman's terms, that means?
It would be the little icon down in your desktop tray of your computer. We like to call it sort of the in-between your computer and the World Wide Web. It's sort of its own little entity. It's a direct communication to somebody's desktop of their computer. So you really only use the internet for sending information, but you're not on the World Wide Web. And it's sort of a neat little product as we look at all the clutter, you know, that is out there. I mean, everybody has a website now, and everybody has so many bookmarks and stuff. This gives you a direct communication as a media channel, you know, with the ability to do audio, to do video, to do, you know, instant type messaging, and it becomes sort of your launch point onto the World Wide Web. And so, you know, we looked at it as, you know, with the different trends and stuff, as an excellent communication tool to try to bypass, you know, all the clutter that's out there. And so, you know, with Jason's help, with Joe Plaster now heading up the company, you know, we believe that's a product that can, you know, they can really turn into an exceptional company for the state of Wisconsin.
And that's based in Stevens Point?
It's actually based over in La Crosse.
Oh, okay.
And they felt that, you know, they were looking at somewhere near this area. They're still tied with the Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club, but, you know, La Crosse probably had more computer programmer type people.
Uh-huh. Which county is La Crosse in?
It's in La Crosse County.
Oh, okay.
Yep, La Crosse in La Crosse County, yep.
Okay. What do you see the Entrepreneur Clubs blossoming into, or will they just pretty much stay the way they are?
Well, I think, you know, the Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club was the very first tool to develop this culture of innovation and entrepreneurship, and I think that's what it's going to continue to do, is to build a culture that takes ideas and motivates and provides the tools for people to take those ideas and explore them. And, you know, as old dies away, like we talked about, new opportunities are going to spring up at an ever-increasing rate, and hopefully we'll see Wisconsin just full of people, and with the ability now through the clubs, through the WEN network, to be able to take those ideas and actually capitalize on them. And find out that it's okay, as you got an idea, you run it through the steps, and you either kill it, set it aside, or bring it forward. And hopefully we'll see a lot of new businesses spring up like Brain Fruit. They don't all have to be high-tech. You know, it's sort of neat because we've had people come to the clubs and you know, as we go around at the club meetings before we go into networking, we ask them, tell us your name because you're important to us. Tell us why you're here. And then also, if you have any kind of talent or experience that you'd share with others, let us know what that is, whether you do CAD, you know, drawings or things like that. And so, you know, one man stands up and he says, I sell pine cones. I sell these pine cones. They smell great. This smells like cinnamon. And he goes, this was my new innovation last year. I sell these pine cones. You throw them in the fire and they glow beautiful colors. People love them. And, you know, people are sort of giggling a little bit. Yeah, he sells pine cones. And it was asked, how many pine cones do you sell? I sell $1.5 million worth of pine cones annually, and my sales are going up 25% a year. You could hear a pin drop. So it
they
doesn't
stop laughing.
Right. It doesn't have to be high tech.
Right.
And, you know, and it's neat because so many rural areas have what we call starving artists. These are people,
right.
They sell to the wrong market. We had one lady we called the Mitten Lady, and Mitten Lady.
Oh, Mitten, okay.
Yep, she invented her own little weave to make these mittens, and then she only used Wisconsin wool, and she knew that, you know, the names of the farm where the wool came from. And she sold these mittens locally to people that bought them to keep warm.
Okay.
Well, the club said, you know, that isn't the market you should be in. And it's not the buying the mittens to keep warm that people are interested out there in the world. They want the story of the Mitten Lady. So now, instead of selling them locally for $12.50 a pair, she sells them around the world for $85 a pair.
Whoa.
She's no longer a starving artist. She has a sustainable business.
Huh.
And these are the kind of things that you learn in the club. I mean, people are so willing to share their experience, what they've learned. They, you know, especially people talk about their failures, and I
right.
think we could learn a tremendous amount from our failures. And it's all this activity in this culture that we've developed that really helps people succeed. And that's what, you know, I think Wisconsin is becoming sort of an icon, because not only do we have the resources now, but we've also developed a grassroots effort to move people through that system. And I think when the governor did a survey, you know, through the Wisconsin Entrepreneurs Network, they found out that over 50% of the people out there have an idea that they believe they can turn into a business. Well, what we're doing is we're tapping into that.
Okay. Sounds good. Anything else that I didn't ask you about?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I can go on forever with stories and stuff, but I think you got the gist of it. I mean, this is something new that we're doing that I think is drawing attention to the state of Wisconsin. You know, there are some short-term successes. Oh, one other neat little thing is that using this whole, network of creative people in the state of Wisconsin to help solve some of the problems for the state of Wisconsin. I know I met recently with the new secretary for the Department of Natural Resources, Matt Franks, and we were talking about some of the problems out there, like with fly ash. I know, especially at the Dairyland Power,
right.
and we decided, you know, hey, you know, let's throw this out to the people in the state of Wisconsin and see if we can come up, you know, with some good answers for the use of fly ash rather than just putting it into the landfills.
Right.
So we actually, working with Dairyland Power, we put that challenge out to the Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club. And it's funny because sometimes, you know, very simple people, very common sense people can come up with very profound solutions to answers. I know we had some federal people here with the wildlife, department, and they were asking us, can you come up with a way to get, you know, there's a disconnect between kids and nature. Can you come up with a way to try to get kids and nature back together? And we actually have people in our club working on that.
Huh.
And it's really neat, some of the things that they've come up with, like using bees and demonstrations with bees, which are very interesting to get kids more interested in nature again. So I think we can tap into the creativity of Wisconsin and even solve, you know, a lot of our problems.
I've heard the club's described as the Rotary for the creative set.
Yeah, and it's really neat because, you know, there's a place for everyone at our club meetings. You know, it's almost like Sturgis. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a dock worker, everyone's accepted. But we have people come into the clubs, and this is where you get that diversity and that mix. We have people that are extremely creative, but introverts,
right,
but they feel comfortable at the club. We have people that are salesmen, businessmen. We have people that are investors. We have retired people that are not ready to be retired yet, and they have a whole world of it, you know, experience to be able to share. And to us, a success isn't just the person that takes a high-tech, you know, idea and turns it into, you know, 50 jobs and a lot of money. To us, a success is the housewife that is able to supplement her income, you know, $3,000 to $6,000 a year. So, you know, to us, I think anybody exploring an idea and capitalizing on it in some way is a success.
Okay.
Cool.
Sounds good.